There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday and live local talk over the next couple of hours. Let me, while this is transferring, and Dalton, make sure that it was, you sure that it was right? You sure? Okay, coming up on the show today, in the hour number two, we'll work it this way. Hour number two, former Senator Jeff Sessions is going to join us. We'll talk with him. He's on the road heading from down here in southwest Alabama up to Birmingham. He'll hop on the phone with us here in hour number two. Plus, Steve Joint from the Mobile Mask. We'll talk about the Mardi Gras tree. The big lighting goes on tonight for what we've been told is the universes. I'm going to go ahead and say the universe, unless you think there's alternate versions of this universe stacked one on top of it. But the universe's biggest Mardi Gras tree right here in Mobile, Alabama, to be lit tonight. But he'll talk about Mardi Gras in general, and we'll talk about the tree coming up at 1 o'clock today. So Senator Sessions coming up, Steve Joint coming up. Also, State Senator Chris Elliott joins us this hour, checking in from Montgomery as they've had the first few days in session. I want to talk about what's happened in the Alabama Senate. Chris Elliott joins us around 12:30, and we'll start off with the beginning of President Trump's remarks about the Senate impeachment acquittal. Dalton, are you sure? Because we have to go back, even though the president is still talking, we're going back to the beginning where he lays everything out, and he said BS, but he said the full word, which I mean, and I would say the full word too, except we hold a federal license and I can't do that. So you're telling me you have made the edit. You sure? You sure you have made the edit? Because this is at some point in this, there's a BS drop.
Unless the president said it twice, which he might have.
You have double checked on this because this is coming. This, everybody's going to be listening to hear if we run that.
You know, we're limited on time, but I do know that there was one time where the president said that word, and it is edited.
Okay, so on Dalton. So let's get to it. Let's get to it. So let's start off the president's remarks on the acquittal, and it's still rolling on. He's been talking for an hour and something, but let's get the beginning. And speaking of which, as I pointed out on Twitter earlier, maybe we'll get that clip as well. About 20, 30 minutes ago, the president was thanking members of Congress by name, and Congressman Bradley Byrne and Congressman Matt Gaetz both being named by the president, thanking them for their help through the impeachment process. We'll get that as well. But let's go to the beginning. You're sure? You're sure of the edit? You're sure? Okay, fingers crossed. Here we go. Let's get into this. Take it from the top here, and the president with one edit.
Well, thank you very much.
One edit.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. Wow. We've all been through a lot together, and we probably deserve that hand for all of us, because it's been a very unfair situation. I invited some of our very good friends, and we have limited room, but everybody wanted to come. We kept it down to a minimum, and believe it or not, this is a minimum. But a tremendous thing was done over the last number of months, but really, if you go back to it, over the last number of years, we had the witch hunt. It started from the day we came down the elevator, myself and our future First Lady, who's with us right now. Thank you, Melania. And it never really stopped. We've been going through this now for over 3 years. It was evil. It was corrupt. It was dirty cops. It was leakers and liars. And this should never, ever happen to another president, ever. I don't know that other presidents would have been able to take it. Some people said no, they wouldn't have. But I can tell you, at a minimum, you have to focus on this because it can get away very quickly. No matter who you have with you, it can get away very quickly. It was a disgrace. Had I not fired James Comey, who was a disaster, by the way, it's possible I wouldn't even be standing here right now. We caught him in the act. Dirty cops, bad people. If this happened to President Obama, a lot of people would have been in jail for a long time already, many, many years. I want to start by thanking some of, and I call them friends, because, you know, you develop friendships and relationships when you're in battle and war, much more so than, gee, let's have a normal situation. With all that we've gone through, we've done, I think, more than any president and administration, and really, I say, for the most part, Republican congressmen, congresswomen, and Republican senators. We've done more than any administration in the first few years. You look at all of the things we've done. I watched this morning as they tried to take credit for the stock market from, think of that. Let me tell you, if we didn't win, the stock market would have crashed. And the market was going up a lot before the election because it was looking like we had a good chance to win, and then went up tremendously from the time we won the election till the time we took office, which was November 8th to January 20th. And that's our credit. That's all our credit. And leading up to that point was our credit because there was hope. And one of the reasons the stock market's gone up so much in the last few days is people think we're doing so well. They liked the State of the Union speech. It really is. It's a true honor to give it. Making the State of the Union speech, I was with some people that have been around. They've been all over the world. And one of them said, highly sophisticated person said, you know, no matter where you go in the world, it doesn't make any difference. There is nothing like what I witnessed tonight. The beauty, the majesty of the chamber, the power of the United States, the power of the people in this room. Really an amazing evening. I don't think there is anything like that anywhere in the world. You can go to any other country. You can go to any other location, any other place. It's the beauty of everything. It's what it represents and how it represents our country. I want to start by introducing some of the people that are here. I know some are going to be left out, but they work so hard. And this is really not a news conference. It's not a speech. It's not anything. It's just we're sort of, it's a celebration because we have something that just worked out. I mean, it worked out. We went through hell unfairly, did nothing wrong. Did nothing wrong. I've done things wrong in my life, I will admit. Not purposely, but I've done things wrong. But this is what the end result is. Yeah. Maybe we'll frame it. It's the only good headline I've ever had in the Washington Post. I tell you. But every paper is the same. Does anybody have those papers? Does anybody have them? Because they're really like that, so I appreciate that. But some of the people here have been incredible warriors. They're warriors. And there's nothing from a legal standpoint. This is a political thing. And every time I say, this is unfair, let's go to court, they say, sir, you can't go to court. This is politics. And we were treated unbelievably unfairly. And you have to understand, we first went through Russia, Russia, Russia. It was all bullshit. We then went through the Mueller report. And they should have come back one day later. They didn't. They came back 2 years later, after lives were ruined, after people went bankrupt, after people lost all their money. People came to Washington to help other people. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, I say. They came, one or two or three people in particular, but many people. We had a rough campaign. It was nasty. It was one of the nastiest, they say. They say Andrew Jackson was always the nastiest campaign. They actually said we topped it. It was a nasty, both in the primaries and in the election. But you see, we thought after the election it would stop, but it didn't stop. It just started. And tremendous corruption. So we had a campaign. Little did we know we were running against some very, very bad and evil people with fake dossiers, with all of these horrible, dirty cops that took these dossiers and did bad things. They knew all about it. The FISA courts should be ashamed of themselves. It's a very tough thing. And then we ended up winning on Russia, Russia, Russia. It should have taken the one day, as I said, and it took years. Then Bob Mueller testified. That didn't work out so well for the other side. But they should have said that first week, because it came out. Is that right, Jim Jordan? They knew in the first 2 days, actually. Devin, is that right? 2 days. They knew that we were totally innocent. But they kept it going, Mark. They kept it going forever. Because they wanted to inflict political pain on somebody that had just won an election that to a lot of people was surprised. I mean, we had polls that said we were going to win. We had Los Angeles Times and a few papers actually said it was we were going to win, but it was going to be close. And we did win. It was one of the greatest wins of all time. And they said, okay, he won. And, you know, I wrote this down because that was where a thing called the insurance policy to me. When I saw the insurance policy, and that was done long before the election, that was done when they thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And by the way, Hillary Clinton and the DNC paid for millions of dollars, the fake dossier. And now Christopher Steele admits that it's a fake because he got sued by rich people. I should have sued him too, but when you're president, people don't like suing. I want to thank my legal team, by the way, not for that advice, but for other advice. Pat, Jay, Pat, you guys stand up, please. Great job. Right at the beginning, they said, sir, you have nothing to worry about. All of the facts are on your side. I said, you don't understand. that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. And that was really true. They made up facts. A corrupt politician named Adam Schiff made up my statement to the Ukrainian president. He brought it out of thin air, just made it up. They say he's a screenwriter, a failed screenwriter. He tried to go into, unfortunately, he went into politics after that. Remember, he said the statement, which is a mob statement. Don't call me, I'll call you. I didn't say that. Fortunately, for all of us here today and for our country, we had transcripts. We had transcribers, professional transcribers. Then they said, oh, well, maybe the transcription is not correct. But Lieutenant Colonel Vindman and his twin brother, right? We had some people that really amazing. But we did everything. We said, what's wrong with it? Well, they didn't add this word or that. It didn't matter. I said, add it. They're probably wrong, but add it. So now everyone agrees that they were perfectly accurate. When you read those transcripts, Tim Scott, I don't know if Tim's here, but he said, sir, he's the first one to call me. Sir, I read the transcript. You did nothing wrong. And Mitch, he stayed there right from the beginning. He never changed. And Mitch McConnell, I want to tell you, you did a fantastic job. Somebody said, you know, Mitch is quiet. And I said, he's not quiet. He's not quiet. These are the people. He doesn't want people to know him. And they said, is Mitch smart? I said, well, let's put it this way. For many, many years, a lot of very smart, bad in many cases, sometimes good, but people have been trying to take his place. And to the best of my knowledge, I've never even heard the subject come up because they've been wiped out so fast. This guy is great, and I appreciate it, Mitch. And he's also given us 191 now. 191 federal judges, two Supreme Court judges, right? Up to 191. Yeah. Great guy. Great guy. He's a tough guy to read. I'm good at reading people. Tough guy to read, I'd call him. My wife would say, how'd you do with Mitch? I don't know. That's what makes him good, when you can read somebody. Fantastic job. And he understood right from this was crooked politics. This was crooked politics. How about all these people? They're running for office. They're saying the worst things about me, like eight senators on the Democrat side. Most of them got wiped out. You know, they got their 1% or less. Most of them got less. They decided to go home. Let's go back to California. Let's go back to wherever they came from. Let's go back to New York. How about that one? Our New York Senator, Gillibrand. Let's go back to New York after they get nothing. And then they take an oath that they will be fair, that they will be reasonable, you know, all of the different things that they had to sign. They're not fair, but here's the beauty. So we have four left. They're saying the most horrendous things about me. It's okay, it's politics. And then they're supposed to vote on me. They're trying to replace me, and then they're supposed to be voting. So I think it's incredible. But so Mitch, I want to thank you very much, incredible. And you have some of your folks here. And they're incredible people, and they've been right from the beginning. And again, you're out of session, unfortunately. I only told these folks, let's do this today. We did a prayer breakfast this morning, and I thought that was really good. In fact, that was so good it might wipe this out. But by the end, by the time we finish, this will wipe that one out, those statements. I had...
All right, so... We're running short on time here, but that is a gist of the opening of President Trump's remarks around the impeachment acquittal. It goes on for, Dalton, what's your estimate? I mean, I have the two pieces here. I'm looking at 45 minutes, maybe an hour. of commentary from the president. So we'll be talking about that more coming up later in the show. Right now, let's check news and then State Senator Chris Elliott on the way.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Shift gears for a second here and go from Washington to Montgomery, specifically Goat Hill. You know, we know that Governor Ivey's arm is in a sling, but are there any backsides and slings already with just a few days under their belt in session in Montgomery? Well, we'll check on the Senate side with State Senator Chris Elliott joining us now. Hey, Chris.
How are you?
Good. Is you have any body part in a sling? Are you in a sling?
I think I've been in the penalty box, you know, since the toll bridge stuff, and I'm just fine staying there, I guess. You know, frankly, that needed to die like it did. At least the plan that was proposed by the administration, it's dead. It's staying dead. The only question is whether or not they actually take us up on our offer of a plan that costs about half as much, and that'll be up to the governor.
I am interested in where that goes, but let me ask you something. Kind of pull back the curtain moment. We've known that obviously it was very contentious between you and other of the South Alabama delegation and the governor and ALDOT. And is that still, I mean, I know you, they've got your name, they've got your number, but is that resonating? Are you seeing those people and are they giving you a cold shoulder or stare? I mean, are they letting you know that payback's going to be a twitch?
Well, you know, that's a two-way street, mm-hmm. and that's why we have checks and balances and three different branches of government. We have to work together in order to get things done. The governor has a lot of power. There's no question about that. The ALDOT director has a lot of power determining where a lot of those funds go and has no problem using them and wielding them for political purposes. But, you know, the legislative branch has the power of the purse, makes appropriations. Just earlier today, I filed a bill that would remove the ability for the governor to appoint the ALDOT director, and instead have that appointment authority rest with a 5-member commission that, in all fairness, is appointed by the governor on staggered terms. It will hopefully provide some more continuity when we look at long-range transportation planning, and frankly, get some of the politics out of this process. And I will tell you, this is Representative Chris Pringle's bill that he's filed for years and years, and I have filed it in the Senate with a bunch of co-sponsors, which I think will kind of let you know where the mood of the body is.
Well, that's good. I mean, are any of those co-sponsors not from Southwest Alabama?
They're from all over the state by design.
Very good.
And there's a lot of folks that are frustrated with how things are working and how things are running. You've seen different areas frustrated about the calculations and how things are divvied up. Again, it's entirely too political, and it's time to look at long-range transportation based on need, based on traffic count, and frankly, based on where the money's raised, as opposed to using four-lane roads as a economic development project.
Let's talk about where the pacing of the legislative branches, Senate specifically for you, but looking over at the House, will be compared to what Governor Ivey laid out in the State of the State, right? So if we listened to her the other night, she's laying out prisons was, after some opening remarks, she got into talking about prisons. I'm not surprised on that. I know you're not surprised on that. But we've talked about this from the end of last session, and then it was going to be a special session in the summertime sometime, or then y'all were going to gavel in and go into special. Back to none of that. Just, are y'all going to get this done?
It's a good question. The prison thing in particular is pretty concerning to me. I mean, we're looking at proposals, from these folks. Sean, this is back to a P3. I mean, here we go again, right? These are folks that are going to be building these prisons. The state's going to be leasing the facilities back from the folks that construct these prisons. And, you know, we don't know much about them. A lot of this has been done in a vacuum. Senator Marsh, pro tem the other day, said, you know, the legislature needs to know more about the money here and how you intend to pay for this. I'm afraid we're going to end up with a long-term commitment that the legislature hasn't approved and be saddled with that. I'm also concerned about the level of competition in that process. And Sean, we can borrow money at the state level at 2%. Why in the world are we going out there and asking a private entity to assume all of this risk and then to borrow money at probably more than what we can borrow it at? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
You know, the argument has been in the past, well, the legislature's had a chance to deal with this, and they haven't.
Yep.
I'm among
is that is that not fair?
A legislature that's brand new, right?
Right, so, but is that not fair? I mean, is it not fair to say, because I remember this, and I'm not impugning anybody who's new there, but I've been talking about this since it was the first term of former Governor Bentley. We were talking about this.
Sure, and it is fair to a point, except for when you realize that, again, a third of the legislature is new in both chambers. That is a completely different legislature. And I think to simply say we can't talk to them, we can't work with them, we can't come up with a good way to move forward, probably not a good idea. But we'll see what the proposal is. I mean, I'm not ironclad against anything one way or the other. It's going to have to be budgeted at some point. But there are some questions that are going to have to be answered. A lot of my colleagues are asking them, too, about how much is this going to cost and for how long? We don't have any of those numbers or any of those projections yet. Again, and I hate to say this, but not all that different from an I-10 bridge. What's the plan B? And there doesn't appear to be one.
Yeah, what I've heard over time, and you can give me your take on it, is there's not, and I know there's a bunch of new folks, but there's not the political will in the legislature. That in the legislature, nobody wants to take the hit for it. So you would put the things in there, maybe the mental health issues and other things would stick in there. But the idea of moving a prison out of one district and into another district, something to that effect, leave it to the executive branch because they don't have the same pressure on them. And obviously the executive branch could enter into this P3 agreement, right, to lease a space. So it's almost political cover for folks that don't want to take tough votes about moving prisons.
I didn't come to the Alabama legislature not to take tough votes. People elected me to do a job. I have no problem doing the job and being accountable for it. There may be some of my colleagues that feel that way, but I would suggest that's not the majority of them. They're here to govern. They're here to help govern and make decisions about what we do with your tax dollars. Taking that out of the legislature's hands, while it may seem expedient, is going to be expensive. And we're going to end up paying a private concessionaire more than we otherwise would have to because, you know, that decision's not being left up to the legislature. I think that's a mistake.
But if y'all don't get it done and we run up against this federal receivership, it's going to cost a lot more than either scenario.
That is also true, no question about it. And that's one of the things that's a little frustrating from a proposal standpoint and the track the governor's on currently. And we're still early in the session, but that doesn't come back until March, perhaps at the end of session.
That seems like horrible planning to me. It really does, Senator. I mean, it's just we can't do better than that. I have it at the end of session, really.
Sometimes, Sean, I have that exact conversation with myself, and that is this really the best we can do? And I think the answer is no. And I think we've got to do better. I'm just not pleased, frankly, with the level of communication and how things are working right now. I have an awful lot of questions. Now, in all fairness, we're two legislative days in.
I know.
And hopefully we'll move in that direction.
Okay. Can you hang on a second, run to the news break, and come back?
Absolutely.
All right. Coming right back with State Senator Chris Elliott, because I talk about a couple more things on this prison thing. And, of course, I know y'all want to get some questions about Lotto asked, and I've got to find out about where the senator's legislation is when it deals with police jurisdictions. I know. Ooh. Third rail hot button issue. That's what we do around here. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And coming up next hour, former Senator Jeff Sessions joins us. Also, Steve Joint will join us to talk about the lighting of Mobile's Mardi Gras tree, which, according to Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson, about 2 or 3 weeks ago at the city council meeting, looks like it's the country's biggest Mardi Gras tree. And I then extrapolated from that the nation's largest. And then from beyond that, I said the planet's largest. And now I'm saying pretty much the universe, the largest Mardi Gras tree in the universe resides right here in Mobile. So, but we'll talk about that next hour. Continue our conversation with State Senator Chris Elliott, as it has been the first, I guess, first 3 days. What about day one? What about Tuesday? That's not what do y'all do that day?
We said the pledge and we prayed and everybody introduced bills. Frankly, that's an opportunity to start and to start introducing bills. They left the journal open most of the day. You get to see your colleagues gain co-sponsors for your bills and go ahead and introduce bills. But there's obviously no debate on the floor because there's not that much to debate. It hasn't been filed yet, usually.
Well, speaking of those bills filed, let's talk about, and I know you've got a couple things to talk about here, but the one, you and I talked about this last session, now we're talking about this session, a bill to how do you say it? to give the liberty to roll back police jurisdictions, or how do you word this?
It is titled the No Taxation Without Representation Act.
Okay, that's popular in this country.
It was filed today. Essentially, what it does is establish a referendum on the ballot in November. It'll be a county by county referendum, although all 67 counties will have the referendum if the bill passes, and it will essentially allow the voters to determine whether or not we want to continue to allow municipalities to exercise police jurisdictions and extraterritorial jurisdictions. That's planning jurisdictions, sign ordinances, things of that nature. And it's very simple. The folks that live outside of a city can't vote currently for the people that tax them and police them and regulate them, and that is fundamentally wrong. We're one of only three states in the country that does this. It is fundamentally wrong, and this simply gives those people an opportunity to say, do we want to allow this to continue to happen or not?
Does it compel the municipality not to do it, or leaves it open for them not to do it? Yeah, you follow what I'm asking? Does it say, hey, you have the right as a city to not provide this, or does it say you can't provide this?
I want to answer your question accurately, but I'm going to get the low-hanging fruit first. The way the referendum reads is basically, do you want to continue to allow this to occur?
Okay.
And if the majority vote yes, then it is allowed to continue. If the majority vote no, then it goes away. Now, having said that, this doesn't really change any existing statutes that are out there and govern this. So a municipality may elect to pull back their police jurisdiction, or at least a portion of it, if they want to, under current law. So that doesn't change that necessarily. This just says, do you want to do this or not? And I have a sneaking suspicion, Sean, that folks don't like being tax regulated and policed by people they can't vote for.
I think there's a lot of people on board with you. Who's your opponents on this? What I mean, where are they coming from?
This is the League of Municipalities, and it is the entity that represents cities, all 463 of them around the state. Although I will, of course, say that not all municipalities feel this way. Obviously, we've got a conversation going on right now in Mobile about this. Mm-hmm. It's pretty hot and heavy. I think a lot of people would like for my bill to pass so that simply kind of finishes the conversation off. And I think that's a good thing. That's what I'm really trying to do here, is make sure that we don't continue to have this type of back and forth, leaving the public out there not knowing, hey, am I going to have police coverage or not? Where is this coming from? Who do I go see for a building permit? This type of constant vacillation between who's governing me isn't good for us. We need to know who do I go get a building permit from? Whose sign ordinances do I have to follow? Who's providing my police and fire protection? This shouldn't be something that changes at on a whim. And this hopefully will solve that issue. The League and some of their municipalities contend that they provide services out there in these police jurisdictions that are needed. They contend that they spend the tax money they raise out there for the benefit of, it's kind of these benevolent people that don't really represent us, but they collect our tax money and spend it on our behalf. Thank you very much, but you don't get to vote for them, which is just, again, antithetical and not consistent with a democracy, but okay. But my point is, okay, then make your case to the public, but let them vote on it. If you're doing a great job and they like what you're doing for them, then fine. But at least ask for their consent to do it.
Because okay, you're not arguing, because I would say that I've, you know, we can talk numbers here, but they do spend money. I mean, they raise money in police jurisdictions and spend that money in police jurisdiction. At least in the situation for Mobile, I looked at, here's the money coming in, here's what they're spending. Actually, spending more, they're saying, than they're taking in. But you're asking for people to consent to that. So right now, if somebody wanted to not be part of, okay, because we talk about, will the city pull back police jurisdiction? Is there any way for citizens to kick out the police jurisdiction?
This is it. And of course, the answer is currently no.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be tax police regulated by a city. You live in this area within 3 miles of the city. They can do it to you, and you don't have any ability to say, I don't want it. Thank you very much. You know, we have areas in Baldwin County, really around the state, where you have people that are being, you know, have sign ordinances placed on them that they don't want any part of. I mean, heck, I had a farmer call me the other day south of Fairhope in the Barnwell area. He lives several miles outside of town, and the city of Fairhope went down there and told him he couldn't have a sign that said pecans in his yard because it violated their sign ordinance. I mean, come on. That guy's been there for his family for a couple hundred years, and all of a sudden he can't have a sign. He doesn't live in the city. You got farmers who want to do family subdivisions, give the back 5 acres to one of their kids. And, oh, by the way, the subdivision regulations promulgated by a city council, they can't vote for, don't allow for that.
Wow.
You've got municipalities, and I liken this to calling fair catch when you're nowhere near the ball, okay? you got municipalities who may have one or two police officers, okay, that are on duty at night, and yet they're supposed to cover an 80-square-mile area. Come on. You're not anywhere near the ball. You're not going to catch it. And it's not that you may provide some service there, but you're precluding the sheriff from doing so where he otherwise would do it. So when they call 911, they dispatch the town of only two cops, and they can't get there. Don't call it and say, hey, we got this area. We're covering this, when you're not really covering it. I got a city in Baldwin County who enforces a police jurisdiction, and they have to drive through two other cities to get to it.
Unless they go by boat. Interesting. All right. So just got a couple minutes left here. That is, you got some co-sponsors. You have some traction with that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And hopefully it'll be on the ballot, and we'll let people decide what they want to do.
And that's what people need to understand. This would be, once again, a CA, right? I mean, a constitutional amendment. It would be something we vote on to change, and that would change statewide.
It would change county by county, but it would be on the ballot statewide. So, again, more flexibility. If it's good for Mobile County but bad for Baldwin County, we can have two different scenarios there, but at least give the opportunity for folks to vote on it, just like I want to, and I'll get a segue in here, just like I want to give people the opportunity to vote on the lottery.
Nice segue. Perfect dovetail, because you knew where I was going to go. So where does it stand? Where's lotto talk at this point, just a couple days in?
Representative Klaus, the Ways and Means Chair in the House, has said he's going to introduce a lottery. There's a paper lottery that goes essentially to the Education Trust Fund, provides scholarships, needs-based scholarships, and then also better funds early childhood, pre-K, which has great dollar-for-dollar benefit that we've seen, a very successful award-winning pre-K program in Alabama. You know, I was a little tough on the governor earlier, so I will say this is a very good program, one that she's been very supportive of, and it has certainly paid dividends. I would support that. We just got to get it out of the House. We've got to figure out a way to get the folks what they're asking for, and that's the ability to vote on a lottery. Make sure the special interests are out of it on either side, and just let people vote one way or the other, whether they want a lottery or not.
Okay, 1 minute. So what does the offering of this compact from the Porch Panda Creek Indians do to that overall discussion?
You know, the governor the other night in the State of the Union, I think, put a pin in all of those conversations mm-hmm. and said she wants to form a study committee to look at it and get the facts. Sean, a study committee in Montgomery is where things go to die.
Yeah, well, that's why I said it got put on
most
ice.
Most of the time. I hope that's not the case this time. I want to get to work on a lottery bill and figure out if we can make that happen. That's what my constituents want. That's what I want.
That's why I wonder. I mean, it gets put on ice by that the other night in the State of the State address. But we're up against the end of the hour. We'll talk again hopefully next week.
Happy to do it.
All right. Very good. Thank you. State Senator Chris Elliott joining us. And we're coming right back. shift gears here and talk some Mardi Gras. Talk some Mardi Gras treat. Plus, former senator, candidate for Senate, Jeff Sessions, joins us next hour as well. Stay close.